I invite you to turn in your Bibles for today's scripture reading from Matthew 6. Yes, we're continuing in Matthew 6, a few verses following where we were last week. And looking at those verses that we considered last week, the coming verses were just too good and too much connected to the agenda of the king for me to leave Matthew 6. So let's consider Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. These are the words of Jesus to his followers. Let's hear them and ask God to help us to take them to heart. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." If you suddenly had lots of money, what would you do with it? I want to challenge you to consider that the answer you give or the prompting your heart speaks to you now reflects your heart. It reflects what's really going on there and what you really prioritize. But here's more. In today's passage, Matthew 6, 19 to 24, Jesus says, here's another reflection. The way you're handling money now also reflects your heart attitude toward God and the kingdom of God. And today we're considering Jesus' instructions about our attitude about and our use of money, resources, and possessions. How do we view these things? And how do we use these things? And how is the way that we view and use them a reflection of the king's agenda? Because to do so is in part of his agenda. Now, I know what some of you are saying. Why in the world, Pastor Bruce, are you talking about money? And I'm remembering early in my ministry here at Trinity, I've been going along at a good pace with a lot of different message series and preaching on a variety of topics from the Bible for months, if not longer, never ever once mentioning money. And then on a particular Sunday, a woman who was visiting brought her husband, and he left saying, "I'm never coming back," because he's always talking about money. And I hope if you're thinking, why is he talking about money? If you're pushing back too strong, you're probably somebody who most needs to hear what I have to say, because Jesus said a lot about money. Jesus talked a lot about money. And someone has done a little bit of calculation on numbers of verses, and according to this person's calculations, if you add up all the verses about heaven and all the verses about hell and put them all together, the total amount of verses is not equal to the amount of verses Jesus talked about money. So money is an important spiritual issue. It has to be, because Jesus spoke about it quite a bit. And Matthew 6 is the Sermon on the Mount, and it also is, in some respects, a sermon on the amount. The amount of your money that you look to give and invest in the work of God. Now, we've looked at prayer, and the context here of Matthew 6 is your relationship with God, your Father. The words are words for believers. Jesus is addressing the cares of our lives. And some people may think, hey, the surest way to not have a lot of anxiety about life's cares is to grab for money and hold what you have really tightly and plan and plan and plan and plan to the nth degree. And Jesus is saying, nope, that's not going to get you freedom from anxiety. In fact, that's a very anxiety-producing way to live. The way to live is to trust God. To trust God and use the money and resources God has given you as a steward for the things of God. In this very context of addressing prayer and anxiety, Jesus is addressing the issue of how you invest your money in his kingdom and his cause, which is a heart issue. And when he speaks of the reward for giving with the right heart, he's not talking about earning something. He's not talking about merit. He's talking about grace. Matt picked a great song about amazing grace. He's talking about grace in God and grace for God. And that song, Amazing Grace, as I was singing it, it's like, wow, that's today's message. Grace in God and for God. That's the reward, treasuring God first and not the things of earth, not the applause of men. Now, how is it that we can rightly call God our Father? I want to be clear about this. We can only rightly call God our Father in that personal way by receiving Jesus. And I want to warn here, generous living and sacrificial kingdom giving doesn't earn you anything, and certainly not heaven. That's not the way it works. It's only God that makes you right, and it's only Jesus who provides that, and it's only his death for us that gives this. This is why Jesus, as God, died and rose again to make you right with God and bring you into God's family. And you have to personally receive this free gift by faith. Notice Matthew 5:11. You're blessed on account of Jesus. That's the call of response that encapsulates the entirety of the Sermon on the Mount and the entirety of the gospel in all of the New Testament. Now, Jesus then speaks this message then to those who are his followers who know God as Father and who want to build their lives upon his word. And we talked about prayer. Prayer is seeking God first, but it isn't just prayer, is it? It's your life. It's your life. It's what you delight in. It's whom you delight in, whom you treasure, and whom you seek. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And seeking God then can obviously be hindered. It can be hindered by anxiety. It can be hindered by anxiety about money. And it can be hindered by sin, like idolatry about money and things and how much technology and stuff you got. We're going to talk more about today. So what do? We don't just passively cave in to the pressures of the world to grab for more and more of stuff. No, we pray. We pray, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, which could be the temptation to love money more than God. Lead us not into that. Deliver us from that, O Lord God. Because that is an evil. And so today we're talking about why to delight in God and invest in heaven. This is the exhortation of Jesus here. He gives at least three reasons for it, and we're considering those as he gives these commands and exhortations around his kingdom agenda and the seeking of God first. Why should we delight in God and invest in heaven? That's what's secure. That's all that's secure. That's what endures. That's all that endures. And that's where you're called to set your heart. You know, your heart has a setting. Your heart right now is set somewhere. And Jesus is calling us to set that heart around the delight in God and the investing in the things of heaven. We're going to consider that today. If your heart is set in the wrong place, you're going to know it. I'm going to tell you exactly how you can know if it's set in the wrong place. But you can reset it by the grace of God and the working of God. And then whom or what you serve. You're going to serve somebody. You are serving somebody now, and you can choose whom you're going to serve and what you're going to serve. And the thing that you're serving, if you're serving something other than God, if you're delighting in something other than God, is a bad master. It's not going to bring joy. It's not going to bring purpose. It's not going to bring life forever either. But if you're serving and investing in God, it's not only the life of forever life, but it's the life of meaning and purpose and joy here. Amen. And that's what you want. So Jesus is telling us then to seek God first, and that's going to get reflected in the way you use money and possessions. You want to live free from anxiety? Anybody? You want to live life filled with joy? Anybody? You want to find that? You will not find that grabbing for money. You're going to find that instead when you give yourself to King Jesus. Amen. When you give yourself to give generously to his kingdom cause. I hope everybody's listening. I want to identify some types of people. I hope teenagers are listening. If you don't have any money yet, it's one of the best times to be listening. Why? Because you can set a trajectory for your whole life. Right? I hope you're listening if you've got bills overwhelming you and mouths to feed that you cannot consider how you're going to do it. Why? Because this is about the heart reality and what's going to bring you the right kind of perspective for life and eternity. And if you got a little bit of years on you, like me, then yeah, this connects you whether you got a lot, a middle amount, or next to nothing. Because as you see your days on earth drawing close, and you know that that day is coming more and more, this is really a gut check to say, what do I value? Whether I have much, middle, or little, what do I value? And I'm saying delight in God and invest in heaven. And that's what Jesus encourages us to do. Do you notice Matthew 6:33? We looked at that last week. The very ending of the chapter of Matthew 6, this marvelous chapter that speaks about a prayer and almsgiving and fasting and being free from anxiety. And then here today addressing the issue of the investment of our delight in God and the things of God. It ends with this call to trust God first. Seek God's rule or reign first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the righteousness of a life formed by God to reflect his character more and more. Seek that first. In the context, Jesus is clearly addressing our attitude toward money or possessions. Don't say to me, well, yeah, I'm gonna seek God first, but in every sense other than money. Well, that isn't seeking God first. If you're pushing back against money. We serve God, yes, with our time, but we also do serve God with our resources, and Jesus is clearly addressing that here. So let's talk first about what's secure and enduring versus what isn't. Why delight in God and invest in heaven? It's because delighting in God and investing in heaven is secure and enduring. Jesus says, don't focus on storing up earthly stuff because it vanishes. And he uses some words here that reflect that. You know, Americans are really into storing up stuff. Storage areas, I'm told by a little bit of research, are rented by 1 of 10 Americans. We spend over $40 billion per year on storing stuff that won't fit in our homes and garages. We, on average, have bigger homes than we traditionally have had, and smaller families than we've traditionally had, and more things to store, so much so that we can't fit all the stuff we're storing up into our places, our garages. We have to have units to put this stuff in. And, of course, what we're storing up could be junk, it could be technology, it could be whatever else we're valuing. Jesus saying, don't focus on storing up stuff. It vanishes. Now, he's not prohibiting savings for the future or planning. Proverbs 21:5 clearly says it's a very important thing to plan. It's a rash person who doesn't plan. What he is, though, he's calling us to live and plan as stewards for God and for the purposes of God. He's calling us to focus on God and to delight in God and invest in heaven. So what he's saying is to align your life and resources with the kingdom, with the purposes of God. That will be storing up in heaven. Why? Because it's impacting eternity. It's glorifying God, yes, but it's impacting eternity. People meeting Jesus, people receiving the compassion of Jesus, people giving praise to God because they've met Jesus and received the compassion of Jesus. Those are things that last forever. Let's look at the specific scriptures here. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. We understand thieves stealing stuff, right? You may have had a laptop stolen. We understand things being temporary. You may have that great new phone and then you drop it. Oh, man. What a bummer. You may have that nice new car, and then you park in the wrong spot, and somebody dings your, right? We've known and experienced those things, but the moth and rust, what's that about? Well, in that time, you might have a fancy article of clothing, and you come to find out it's gone. The moths ate it. Rust, maybe you got some money, and it wasn't great quality metal back in those days. You might go to find your coins and like you can't even identify them as coins anymore. They're so rusted, they are shot, right? That is what all that is earthly stuff is, whether it's financial and the stock market crashing and your investments losing their value dramatically, whether it's real estate and a bubble popping and like, oh man, we just lost it. Whatever it is going to vanish. And let's consider the ultimate vanishing. You know what the ultimate vanishing is? We're all going to die. We're all going to die. And even the greatest laying up on earth, let's imagine wealth like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, right? Greater than them. More stuff and stuff and resources and resources. Jesus said this, what does it profit a man or woman if he or she gains the whole world, all of it, and then you die, and you forfeit your life, yourself, your soul? Of course, no profit, nothing, because it's gone, and you don't know God, and have not valued the things of God. And of course, Jesus is saying there's another way to live, which is to delight in God, to know God, and to value the things of God, the impact your time and treasure can have for the things of God. That's what he means when he says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. He's not talking about some kind of merit. He's talking about a reality of living that reflects seeking first the kingdom of God. God, may your name be worshipped. May your kingdom come, your will be done, and you live that way. You reflect that in your life. So lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Why? Because they endure. There's no rust destroying there. There's no thieves breaking in and stealing there. In fact, Jesus told us up there in heaven, his kingdom and will is being done all the time perfectly. That's what you're taking hold of and investing in as you give generously, especially your money, because Jesus is clearly here addressing that issue, in the mercy that reflects God's values and the mission that calls people to believe in Jesus. And why do I list Luke 12:33 there? There in Luke 12:33, just Luke's version of similar teaching Jesus giving here in Matthew, he talks about this very thing. He says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide for yourself with money bags that do not grow old. This is a spiritual money bag. With a treasure in the heavens that will not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. What is that treasure in the heavens that does not fail? It is that which you invest in the things of God. It lasts. So lay up treasures there. That's what's secure and enduring. Where you set your heart this is the next thing we're considering, why to delight in God and invest in heaven. There is a setting, and verse 21 is an amazing verse. If you came into Trinity today, and it was 62 degrees in here, so imagine that. You know what I would predict? That person upon person upon person would say, Pastor Bruce, what's wrong? What, can we reset the thermostat? Can we get it set up to something more reasonable and more comfortable for us, right? So we all have a thermometer reading of our life. And in some cases, it might be icy cold. And how do you know what it is? And I would say, well, it, the extent that you're treasuring God or not treasuring God. If you're not treasuring God most, newsflash, it's freezing cold in here. Now, you can set that to something hot, fiery hot for God and the purposes of the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about that in a minute. You can set that in your response to resources and money. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. This is a verse you can meditate on and keep meditating on and keep getting more and more out of it. And I see two things here. There's reflecting and there's directing. What you do with your money and resources is reflecting. It reflects your delight. For where your treasure is, this is what Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart's there. You want to know what you treasure? What do you delight in? Look at what you do with your money. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also, right? It reflects. It's just a reality. Now, you can change, because by the grace working of God, you can direct that to God, the things of God. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. That is where you put that focus, treasure, and delight. You're moving your heart there, right? So here's the setting, right? So if it was freezing cold in here, you'd say, Pastor Bruce, can you move it up to 68 or 70 or whatever, right? In your life, if you're like, oh man, I think I may be treasuring, I don't know, I might be treasuring something other, or clearly I am treasuring something other than God. You're not stuck there. You just move the thermostat by the grace working of God to know God, pursue God, trust God, seek God, delight in God, and that includes what we give, how we use our money for the purposes of God. Followers of Jesus and gospel churches do this. They set their hearts on heaven. And of course, there's a battle. You can set it there, and it can slip. It can move. It can kind of try to readjust itself. So you have to constantly be saying, Lord, I want to set my heart on the things of heaven. I want to set my heart on the things of heaven. And that includes generous giving and generous living for the purposes of Jesus and his kingdom, his mission, his mercy. Now, I need to say something. Somebody may say, hey, Pastor Bruce, you have an ulterior motive in here, because Trinity, if I was like to be super generous, Trinity would benefit, and you're very much connected to the things of Trinity. If you think that way, please give your money somewhere else. Please direct your resources, the kingdom ministry, to some other ministry if you think that I'm trying to get after your money for some personal agenda, because all I'm trying to do is tell you what Jesus is talking about, and all I'm trying to do is help you to live in a way that's free from anxiety, filled with joy, and living for the purposes of the kingdom, which I know if you're a follower of Jesus, you really want. So let's look at this next set of verses, Matthew 6, 22 to 23. What in the world is Jesus talking about? This eye thing and the lamp thing and all that. I believe these verses are also about the heart. He's, you know, between 21, you know, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And 24, you can't serve God and money, comes 22 and 23. And the eye here is to the body, as Jesus using this image of the way they saw things in first century Judaism. The eye is to the body what the heart is to your spiritual life. In other words, if your heart is right, you're going to see what's important and live rightly. If your heart is wrong, you're going to see all clouded and dark, great darkness. Let me give you an illustration of this. This past week, one particular day, my windshield and every window was covered with a coat of ice. Now, what if I got in my car, opened the door, got in there, and started driving? Pastor Bruce, you're going to smash into something within minutes. You're going to hurt yourself, somebody else, or property, right? That's darkness. Why? Because there's no light. That's the life of a person living for things. No light. But when you know God, trust God, prioritize God, the windshields are clear. You're living with the clarity and sight of the things that matter. And walking and investing and using your time and resources in a way that is making an impact. That's the heart. So delight in God and invest in heaven. And there's a third thing here, third reason. It is the issue of whom or what you serve. Jesus says everybody serves somebody. And yes, there are other idols. We could talk about idols of things that are wrong, like addiction to drugs and alcohol and pornography, things that are outside of God's boundaries sexually, things that are filled with greed and envy, right? These are all things that are wrong, that could be idols. But let me tell you some things that are good that are idols, that could become an idol. Your technology could become an idol. Your travel plans could become an idol. Your shopping could become an idol. Even your family could become an idol. So what Jesus is doing by addressing this issue of two masters here in Matthew chapter 6, 24, is honing in on one particular idol. And this is an idol that is a big idol. It certainly was in Jesus' time, and it certainly is today. And Jesus is saying, don't be a slave to money. Don't say yes to master money, because master money is a harsh master. The master of the things you possess, if that's your master, it's gonna beat you down and bring no joy and no life, right? So what you want to do instead is to worship and serve the living and true God. What a master he is. You want to worship and serve King Jesus. And you want to use your money and worship him by directing your money to the honor of God and the gospel cause of King Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying. You're either going to serve money, that's that big idol that's competing with King Jesus, or you're going to serve King Jesus. No one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't say, well, I love money and God. It doesn't work that way. If you love God first, you're not going to be in love with money. You cannot serve both God and money. No one's ever done it. Now, how do you break the power of the money master? How do you keep him in check? How do you tell money where to go? You do it by generous living and generous giving that says, I delight in God. And you keep going back to that. I delight in God. I delight in God. I delight in the things of God. I value people. I value prayer. I value kingdom. I value compassion. I value investing in relationships. I value using my time for the purpose of ministry. I live this way continuously. And Master Money is stuck saying, man, that one, he or she loves God. I can't rule him. I can't rule her. Break the money master and the power of Master Money by worshiping and serving God with your money. So we've focused a lot in this message on the delight of your heart and how that delight kind of fosters for those who know God and worship God and are following Jesus, a continual opportunity to keep setting your heart on God. I want to end today's message by just giving you some practical things of ways to start. If somebody's like, how do I do this? I mean, teenagers are like, I don't even know. Like, okay, Pastor Bruce, someday. No, not someday, today. Not someday, today. How do you start or grow in generosity for the kingdom? And this, obviously, this generosity for the kingdom helps the mission of the gospel. It helps to minister the needs of people. But what Jesus is getting at most here is a matter of your discipleship. He's getting at the matter of your heart, which is what matters most. So I'm going to give you some things to consider, ways to start and grow in generosity. First is to keep praying for the things of the kingdom. We already started with that. You don't set that aside. This is now prayers put into action. Keep praying for the things of the kingdom. Things like the worship of God, the mission of the gospel, mercy for people in need, people meeting Jesus who alone gives forgiveness and eternal life. Keep praying for those things. And then work hard. Be responsible. Trust God and plan. This is not saying be lazy, don't be responsible, trust God and don't plan. Nope. This is the life of discipleship is one of responsibility and trust in God. And the biblical principle is little by little. What do I mean by that? A lot of people are saying, when I get really rich, I'll give a lot. No, you won't. The Bible's examples of great generosity are oftentimes people who don't have much. The widow's mite, the Macedonian church. So you start with what you got. And if you invest in the things of God with not having much and continue to seek God, this principle of little by little, the verbs here in this text are all continuous. Continue to lay up treasures in heaven. Continue to seek God. You're seeking God always little by little. You need to set some limits on your spending. You need to have some real limits on debt. We could talk more about that, but we're not. You definitely need to redefine needs because you don't obviously need what you think you need because it's not really a need. Now, some things are needs. Jesus said you got to have food and clothing. And you definitely need to keep a handle on things. If your amount of things is growing, just the time it takes to manage your things might not be a good use of your time. So put some limits. And then here's one. This is a big one. The Bible has this principle of everything that comes in, whatever pay season, whether it's a week, a month, a quarter, of everything that comes in, something goes out. Start this when you don't have much. Everything that comes in, something goes out to the purposes of God. It's the Bible tithe principle. Jesus didn't, I believe, require a tithe. Tithe's probably a good guideline and starting point. Certainly not a cap, though, of everything that comes in, give first to God. Now, keep doing this. Whether you're a teen, whether you have kids to provide for, whether you're elderly on a fixed income, keep doing this. If every season, little, whatever comes in, something goes out. Whatever comes in, something goes out. Little or much, then let God grow you. Let God grow your giving and your generosity. Let God guide you also to give from your assets. Jesus said, sell stuff. Sometimes it's good to sell stuff for the purposes of God. And especially if you've got stored up a lot of stuff, that's probably something you need to think about. Let God guide you to give not only from income, but also from assets. Man, you're going to be growing in generosity and the kingdom. You're going to be seeking God first. You're going to be storing up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Let's, one last thing. I said keep praying. Invest too in prayer. In prayer opportunities. We've got our 21 days of prayer we're doing right now, praying the King's agenda. Keep praying for the King's agenda. Pray for God's mighty working and mighty working in this community at 2026. We've got our annual meeting coming up on the 25th. Pray for unity. Pray for God to work in a mighty way that more and more people meet him. And pray for people you know to meet Jesus. If you got people you know that don't know Jesus, pray for them that they'd meet Jesus. Come out to our worship and prayer night on the 18th. This is for all ages. I hope we're filling this place with people interceding before God. And we've got one last prayer thing, kind of a quiet one. Sunday mornings right before service, if you're up, come on and join that group at 9:10 in the FLC to pray for God's working. Speaking of prayer, can we close in prayer? Lord God, we thank you that we can live lives that matter. That our life here on earth not only is followed by eternal life, but filled with meaning and purpose and joy and impact for eternity as we live it and order it down here by seeking first the kingdom. Lord, I pray for each of our hearts that we would set them on and continue to set them on a setting of fiery delight in you, and investing in the things of eternity. Lord, we give you this. We want to see our lives glorify you. May more and more people worship you, more and more people follow Jesus, more and more people experience your compassion and turn to you. And so, God, we pray this in Jesus' name, and we pray this for our hearts in this community of believers, that we would align ourselves with King Jesus and his agenda for us. We thank you, Lord, that he went to the cross for us. We thank you there is life in him, a life that is built upon the rock. We give you, Lord, ourselves, and we commit all of this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we close.